Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The Shred Show Live, where we bring you industry professionals, entrepreneurs, and the best of the best from around the world who are willing to share how they shred, the strategies, the techniques, and the actionable items that you need in your business to go out and dominate. Join us as we shred, show up, hustle, repeat every day. Let's go. Mr. Jacob Gaffney, good morning. Good morning, sir. First and foremost, how was your weekend?
Amazing. How was yours?
Mine was absolutely awesome. Just got to hang out with family. Actually did some rock climbing. And here's where I'm kind of happy about this because the sun is finally getting out here in Utah, which it's been so up and down. We got snow, we got warm, we got snow, we got warm. And finally it's getting warm here. And I got my first sunburn, dude. I got sunburned, which I hate being sunburned, but that I'm just like, you know what? We finally got some warmth coming to Utah. So I was pretty excited about that. So good things to look forward to. The sun is rising, which I'm excited for.
Only you could be optimism about a sunburn. Only you could find a positive story to a sunburn, how to spin it, how to make it work, show up, hustle, repeat every day, sunburn,
exactly. Hustle. Sunburn, hustle, repeat every day. There you go.
I'm gonna do it. I feel great. I feel good about your sunburn. I'm so glad you got a sunburn and learned from that sunburn.
Yep. Let's talk about being optimist.
Let's talk about it.
Wow, that's a whole, I'm trying to like expound that word. We're going to be
optimistic. And expound is not a word, but that's okay.
There you go. I'm going to optimistic. We make mistakes. Optimistic this morning, which, hey, Jacob, is the world returning? Are we going back to work finally?
We're going back to work.
How do we feel about that?
It is official. Oof. Everyone is beginning to make their way back into the offices. We have reached approximately 50% vaccinated first dose. Okay. Half of everybody in America has been vaccinated first dose.
Wow.
And this is generally seen as a tipping point to where we can begin to kind of gather. I don't know about you, but I seem to think like people are still gathering, at least outdoors in bigger numbers. Like you said, the sun's coming out, grab a friend, go rock climbing with them, get sunburned together. You know, right. It's been here. Let's go get a sunburn together, you know? Yeah. And it's official. So ABC News has a poll out. The nation is more optimistic than it's ever been since December 2006. So don't need to put a link in. You don't need to look it up. It's an ABC News poll of around 500 Americans, margin of error, 4.5%. Okay, it's not a big deal. But what's really, really telling about this story in particular, and I'll put it in the Rise and Shred. It'll be in the Rise and Shred, so don't worry. You'll have a link. You'll be able to
look at it. You're going to get it.
We're just going to chat about it. What is very, very interesting is despite the fact that we are incredibly optimistic at a point we haven't seen in a very, very long time, we are increasingly divided politically on our positions. And it's nuts. So, you know, you want to stay optimistic? Don't talk about politics. Okay. Let's hey Josh, you know, what do you feel about politics? I don't care. Wait,
Time out.
Just don't do it. Because we're talking like 80% of people either disapprove or approve of the current political environment. It is not going to be a positive conversation when people are so divided. So just keep that in your mind. All right. And you got to let people sort that stuff out themselves online in their virtual chat rooms with all their nutty buddies. Okay. Just let them have it. It's not going to be a conversation because when someone is so set the way the survey results are, again, it'll be a Rise and Shred. When someone is so set in their ways, they're very unlikely to change their mind. And it doesn't matter because they're happy. Finally happy. Happy to go back to the office. And there was a great part in the Rise and Shred today that was like, you know, hey, working from home sucks. Wait, working from the office? No, I need to work from home. You know, it was good stuff. So it's crazy. We're weirdos. We're different. We're very complex organisms. I get it, but we're happy. So let's just leave it at that. What's next?
Leave it at that. We're happy, which we need to be. We need some positivity in our lives right now. We need optimism in our lives. And the more we can do that, which let's kind of talk about some. I mean, you talked about an optimism survey that's coming out. I want to throw this is just an exciting story. So I'm going to share this. You shared with me this morning. Check this out. What is this? Like, what is this? This guy man, goes 20 years? Really?
This man's name is spelled H-E-R-O. He got a mortgage, never paid for it, got a Washington Mutual mortgage. Again, this will be in the rising trade. Got a Washington Mutual mortgage, made one payment, filed bankruptcy 7 times.
Wow.
Never paid the mortgage.
That's crazy.
He lived mortgage free for something nuts. So how long? Well, when was Washington Mutual around, right? So he's been going like since 2006. We're going to put this hilarious little tidbit in the Rise and Shred tomorrow. So it'll be there. But man, I mean, how do you not get freaked out about all the eviction notices that got to be coming? I mean, you got JP Morgan Chase coming after you now. You got all this. This particular individual, which is, and we are no way suggesting that you do not pay your mortgage.
No.
That it's amazing that you don't pay your mortgage. I'm just astounded he got away from it for as long as he did.
Oh, yeah.
And it's hilarious. We're going to have more on it next Rise and Shred. But as we've seen, there are definitely topics that you can put off. You can put off the mortgage for some time. How about this judge in California? Finally, California is saying we're going to hear the topic of remote online notarizations and whether or not to legalize them. Okay.
Crazy, so, right?
Right. You know, will you legalize, Ron, already, California? The suspense is killing us. You know, not even going into why haven't you done it since the pandemic is pretty much ending.
Yeah.
And Ron is no longer a necessity as much as it is a very nice option to have. And again, you know, if you click through that article, they say that fraud is at a greater level, Ron. Again, we don't agree with that. I think if anything, Ron is safer. You know, I have not seen incidents of fraud higher in remote online notarizations at all. So that is not, that's a statement that's not based on any data or proof. It remains to be seen. But what I don't get is 13 months into this pandemic and the judge admits she doesn't have an opinion one way or another on Ron.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, where have you been? What have you been doing? You've been on Zoom calls for the last 13 months. That's not normal. That's not normal court.
No, you know, not at all.
You are a virtual digital native now, judge.
How do you not
see the value of Ron? I mean, I just don't get it. And if this is a tidbit of where we are from a judicial standpoint in terms of getting these very, very vital services across the line, the fact that it's not legal in California, do I want to say it's an embarrassment to California? Do I, Josh?
I think it's pretty close. I could say we could go down that route.
I don't know. I don't know if I want to make that, but I do think that not legalizing it, not getting it forward is definitely not a good look
For
California.
Sure.
So, but that's okay. Hey, look, you know, hey, we all make mistakes. We made mistakes.
We do all make mistakes. Let's talk about that. We did make a mistake. And hey, we want to own up to it because we did make a little bit of a mistake. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. Okay. So we made a mistake in Friday's Rise and Shred. You know, it's very shameful when you make a mistake, do you own up to it?
You know, I do my best too. And I'm not perfect, but I like to admit my mistakes. I'm human.
You do. I don't really think I make many mistakes. And when I do, I dwell on them. I mean, and this has been killing me all weekend. It's been, and it's just, it's that one little, you see, by the way, we're calling certain fintechs non-banks. Okay. So that's the one error. We're not calling fintechs non-banks.
Nope.
We're calling them neobanks. And the rest of the article is correct, but the headline is wrong. We're not calling them non-banks. I apologize to the nation. I apologize to the readers. I'll do better. I'll try harder. But we do not call fintechs non-banks. We call them neobanks.
Neobanks.
And we definitely call them neobanks now because if you read the article, the Fed has now basically defined what a neobank is. And that article itself is from the St. Louis Fed. It's from a VP of supervision. So the Fed is recognizing the role, the threat, as some say, that neobanks pose to banks and non-banks. I should say. Mm-hmm. And they discuss the disruption. Again, there we go with that word disruption. You know I hate it, Josh.
Yep.
I don't think neobanks are disruptive. I don't think you're disruptive when you're fixing problems. You know, I don't think it's disruptive to make things easier for people who are not receiving services right. in the financial institution. Okay. Putting that nomenclature aside, neobanks is defined in this article by the Federal Reserve as an institution that offers banking-like services via an app primarily. So if you think of how you do your financial services, if the first thing you do is you pick up your phone and you go to an app, you're probably using a neobank, something that's app-based, okay? Something that is in the cloud, all of that. They define it at the end. So if you click through to that blog, scroll all the way down to reference number one, it defines neobanks as I've just described it. Now, the big thing, you're going to scroll all the way down there.
Right here.
Notes and references number one. The term neobank typically refers blah, 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 blah.
There you go.
The big thing to know about neobanks is that they are assuming the risk that the banking sector and the non-banking sector typically carries on its shoulders. That is a highly regulated and supervised area, right? So what the Federal Reserve is worried about is like, who's going to regulate these neobanks? It's a good question. It's a good question, one that does not have an answer, but is the risk fundamentally shifting? And when you're talking about, and this is where it's going to get super, super interesting, because you're talking about people that systemically have not had access to banks for whatever reasons. They live in food deserts. They live paycheck to paycheck. They go to, you know, payday lenders. English is not their primary language. I mean, we all know why people don't access banks. We just don't know how to serve them, right?
Right.
We know who they are, but we don't know how to get to them. Neobanks are getting to them, right? So you're talking about people with lower traditional credit scores, and suddenly they're getting access to these financial services. Will they default at the rate that our traditional services had predicted they will default at?
Good question.
It's the million-dollar question. We don't have an answer for it yet, but I, for one, am very curious to see what happens when fiscal responsibility enters this realm. And I've talked to a lot of people about it. We don't have time to go into it on this show, but it's a very, very important topic. It is one that several publications in our space is covering. I hope they cover it more, because I will tell you why it's, to me, it is not a non-bank, neobank, bank issue. It's an equality issue. It's an equity issue. It's about spreading the wealth to build a stronger, better nation, the likes of which no one has ever seen. And we can do it together. I think I'm optimistic. Are you optimistic?
I say I'm very optimistic. And that's I love that you talk about this, because we are going to be, this is something that is quite important. There's not a lot of people. There's some people touching on it, but here at Rise and Shred, we're going to be talking about it more. So stay tuned, because there is, and like you said, this is something that needs to be a little bit more forefront in our minds, because it can have some ramifications for the entire industry. So very interesting topics of discussion. So much more to come on neobanks in the future.
Quick question, Josh.
Fire away.
Have you ever talked so much that you can't stand the sound of your voice?
No.
Okay. I just did that, by the
really?
Way.
Really?
I can't stand the sound of my, I talked this whole show. I have something I want to hear your opinion on.
Fire and away.
We shouldn't have saved it to last. We should have opened with it. I agree. I came across this YouTuber putting the Rise and Shred. His name is Inez. He's just this, I call him an average Joe because I couldn't think of another term. He's just some guy off the street. Starts a YouTube channel, gets into all these really nice real estate places. I mean, and he's crushing it at the YouTube game. He is making at least, I don't remember the number exactly, was on the right. He's been like 50K a month.
Yeah, he's making some money.
Videos alone. You have monetized social. You have figured out a living, how to make out of it. You've done all those amazing, great things. I watch these videos. I'm like, 800,000 views for that?
Yeah.
What's he doing? What's his secret? You let me know.
Okay, so here's the thing. Crazy enough, this guy, I don't know if you read this, he's not even a real estate agent. Like, he's not, like, he's titled as an investor and, like, a developer. That's what he's titled, like, a real estate developer. But this guy has no real estate. Like, he just kind of got, and I'm going to say this word, I don't say this very often, like, this guy got lucky when it comes to YouTube. Like, every once in a while, and it, not to say, because people are going to be like, whoa, 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 and I don't want to offend Ines, or however you say this guy's name. He does, I've watched a bunch bunch of these videos. I went through and watched a bunch of these. So you look at these ones even recently, like 262,000 views from 6 days ago, 2 weeks ago, 640,000 views. This guy has put in, he's got a video guy. And actually I follow his video guy now as well. He puts out very high quality videos, but basically what he does is he reaches out to guys like Ryan Serhant. He reaches out to people who have these, I mean, multi-million dollar listings. I mean, 49 million, 21 million, 25 million. And he goes and he just basically walks around these houses. Like, this is what our mindset is of our country right now. They want to see these large, extravagant homes. And we posted a meme the other day in Rise and Shred about it. You know, even though our bank accounts, depending on where those are, we see these extravagant homes and we just crave them. We want them. So this guy, and if you actually go back, here's the even more interesting part for me, Jacob, is I went back and really started diving into his videos. And this guy really started to take off during the pandemic. When the pandemic hit, this is when this guy's, he's been putting out content longer than that, but that's really when these videos, like you can see some of these down here. 10 months ago, this has 6.5 million views. This one has 8.4 million views of just 4 months ago. Like, again, this guy started posting luxury real estate. And he's not even the realtor on these things. That basically, he literally had to reach out to like Ryan Serhant and people like this and be like, hey, so do you mind if I come, me and my camera guy come walk around this multi-million dollar house? And what he's doing is he's creating value. This is where I give this guy props, because this is what I talk about, is how are you creating value on social media? This guy did just that. He said, hey, I have a YouTube channel. I have over 800,000 subscribers right here, 800,000 subscribers on my YouTube channel. Let me come walk around your house. Let me do a video of it and I'll put it up on YouTube. And like, you as a real estate agent are going to get value from that. Getting paid. Molly actually has a really good, we love our friend Molly Dowdy, and Jerry, I saw your comment a little earlier. Thank you so much. Getting paid to tour fancy houses. Sounds like a great job. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's what this guy's doing. That's literally all this guy doing is, Jacob. And again, when I use the word lucky, this guy, he does great content, but he just hit what I call the YouTube algorithms. He started posting stuff. People saw it and like, wow, this is really, really cool. And this thing has absolutely taken off. But here's what I want to show you is this. I'm going to pull this video up real quick. Here's the really interesting thing here. So this one was back in December. This one has 8.4 million views. If you actually look at his likes, this guy is getting absurd amount of engagements. Like this 133,000 likes, 133,000 upvotes is absolutely incredible. Has over 12,000 comments on this. And I actually went through them, and I always tell people don't read your comments because a lot of them are negative. The majority of these comments are actually pretty positive. I thought this guy was going to get torn apart, but like, oh, there you go. Just showing like luxury real estate again. Like that's what like, oh, the rich are getting richer. But it was like, wow, these lighting, like there's a lots of comments just about the home in itself. And like this guy's interviews, he doesn't do anything special. And that's, he even talks about in one of his YouTube videos, he literally just walks around and he points out the obvious, Jacob. Like he literally is just like, check out these chairs. Check out this cool fireplace. Come check out the pool. It's almost like, do you remember Cribs back in the day? You remember the show on MTV Cribs?
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like that. This guy is basically doing an MTV Cribs, and he's getting millions and millions of likes. And like you said, the dude is making bank off YouTube right now. So this goes to show, ladies and gentlemen, if you've got a camera, if you've got a phone, and just go start walking around houses, again, I'm not sure. This guy has to have some type of like great legal, like, hey, can I come in your house? And
it taps into a very unique part of the human mindset, and one that I can't completely fathom, I'll be honest, because of all those numbers, of all those viewers that he gets, of all those people writing comments, not a single one of them are in the market to buy this home.
None.
So he has created his own audience to monetize something that was two completely unrelated products.
Dude,
100%. And he's found that niche and he's done it. And like you said, he's just some guy going through these properties and everybody is just glued to their screen. It's the craziest thing in the world. You know, I mean, there's got to be something to figure out about it. But like you said, there's an algorithm. He found it. Good for him.
Yeah.
He beat it. And
here's the best part. You see this, like his video guy is even shaky. Like this isn't even like the best quality. There's some really good shots. Like they have some good things, but like this just goes to show like he's out of focus. Sometimes it shows you don't have to be perfect. Like we were talking about, like these guys totally are making mistakes. You mentioned different audiences. There's me scrolling through this. I scrolled through for a few minutes right before the show. He probably has in the first 100 comments, there's probably 10 to 15 of them saying, hey, can I reach out to you as a realtor? Like, and he's not even a realtor. Like, this guy's getting opportunity off this video, and he's not even a real estate agent. Like, I don't even, it would be amazing to see where he's sending those deals and those opportunities, because he has people asking him, like, hey, I'm looking for a real estate agent. It's like, yeah, I'm not a real estate agent. I'm just like, there you go. Realtors, if you're looking for something, that might give you an idea. I don't know if they're going to let any Joe Schmo go walk through a multi-million dollar home, but the fact that this is even hitting, it just goes to show there's great opportunities for creating content out there, ladies and gentlemen. You just got to go find it. You got to go do it. This guy absolutely capitalized on an awesome idea.
Love it.
So there you go. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Jerry Yoshida and Molly joining us and always commenting. And Dow, everybody, thanks for commenting this morning. Ending on a positive note there, this is such a insightful Rise and Shred. Lots of things to come. Keep an eye on NeoBanks. You're going to see a lot more with Rise and Shred. And if you guys don't already subscribe, hit the link below. Dal posted it. You can subscribe to the number one and only daily diary of the mortgage industry. You cannot miss a single day because, again, Jacob and our team doing a phenomenal job in putting this together. And again, we make mistakes, but we learn from them. We get better, and we admit when we make those mistakes. Jacob, anything else you have to add, sir?
Let's get back to work.
Go enjoy your office, ladies and gentlemen, because you're all going back there. Go find optimism in the workplace. Be the inspiration. Be the light. Make people feel your enthusiasm in the workplace. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, we appreciate you. We love you. We'll see you next Monday right here on Rise and Shred. See ya.